So if you are an e-commerce seller doing, say, I don't know, $200,000 to $500,000 a month, your entire operational universe is probably built around just one single platform.
Right, Amazon. It's almost always Amazon.
Yeah, exactly. Amazon is basically the undisputed apex predator of online retail. And you probably know that jungle inside and out.
You know the A9 algorithm, all about the climbing PPC costs.
Oh, absolutely. And you know exactly how to manage your FBA inventory limits. But operating in that ecosystem right now, it's basically like trying to run an independent coffee shop in the absolute center of Times Square.
That is a highly accurate comparison. It is so wildly crowded.
Right. It's crowded. The digital rent is just astronomical, and you basically have to set fire to a massive advertising budget just so buyers walking by can even, see your sign through the massive mob of competitors.
You're paying just to exist at that point.
Exactly. But what if I told you that right down the street there is a brand new booming neighborhood being built? Like the foot traffic is already there. Buyers are already spending billions, but your competitors haven't even bothered to sign a lease yet.
And that's what makes this so time sensitive.
Yeah, and that brings us to the core of today's deep dive. So today is Monday, August 3rd, 2026, and we are looking at a rapidly closing window for third-party sellers to establish a foothold on Walmart's marketplace before Q4.
And that timing is really critical. We aren't just looking at a general diversification strategy today. We are looking at a very specific, temporary, early adopter advantage.
Because, I mean, for over a decade, Amazon wasn't just the default choice for brands scaling up. It was essentially the only choice with enough volume to actually matter.
Right. But the architecture e-commerce is actively fracturing right now. To understand why this temporary window on Walmart exists, we have to look past the surface-level marketplace features and really dig into the underlying structural mechanics of how these two titans actually generate their profit.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because if we want to understand why Walmart is behaving so differently, we really have to look at the business models.
Exactly. Amazon's marketplace engine fundamentally relies on monetizing a crowded room.
Right. They have millions of active sellers, and Amazon makes a massive chunk of its revenue by layering advertising fees and fulfillment costs over that totally saturated base.
Yeah, and the crowding is the feature, not a bug, because it forces sellers to bid against each other just to survive.
It's a pay-to-play bloodbath.
That's the crux of it. Amazon monetizes the competition between sellers. Walmart, on the other hand, is engineering its growth engine from a completely different blueprint.
Which is their retail media network, right? Walmart Connect.
Yes, they are aggressively scaling Walmart Connect, but, and this is key, they are tethering that digital advertising directly to their physical footprint.
Ah, the actual brick-and-mortar stores.
Right. By integrating their e-commerce platform with thousands of physical stores, they unlock these logistical capabilities that a pure-play digital platform like Amazon structurally struggles to match.
So we're talking about things like local pickup.
Local pickup, curbside delivery, and same-day fulfillment dispatched directly from a neighborhood store rather than, some distant regional warehouse.
Right, which completely extends that real estate metaphor we used earlier. In Times Square, meaning Amazon, your ad spend is essentially the extortionate rent you pay just to exist.
Yep.
But in this new neighborhood, Walmart, the rent is cheap, and the landlord is literally letting you use their massive network of local delivery trucks to get your product to the buyer's front door in hours instead of days.
What's fascinating here is how that structural difference impacts the actual seller density.
Okay, how so?
Well, by mid-2025, Walmart Marketplace passed 200,000 active sellers.
200,000.
Yeah, and in the context of global e-commerce, 200,000 is an incredibly small cohort. You are looking at a fraction of a fraction of Amazon's seller base.
But hold on, I mean, 200,000 is still hundreds of thousands of businesses. How does the algorithm decide who wins that real estate if it's not just the pure pay-to-play bidding war we see on Amazon? Doesn't that still feel like a crowded room?
It sounds like a lot until you map it against the actual buyer volume, which completely changes the algorithmic game.
Okay, walk me through that.
On Amazon, a search for, say, a simple garlic press might yield tens of thousands of highly optimized, aggressively bidding listings.
Right, and they're all fighting for page one.
Exactly. So the algorithm has to act as a ruthless filter, rewarding only the highest historical converters and the highest bidders. But on Walmart, the structural lack of saturation means the algorithm just isn't forced to be as punitive.
Meaning your products actually have room to index organically.
Yes. You don't need a six-figure launch budget just to get your listing onto page one, because page one simply isn't as congested.
Okay, I love the idea of list congestion and cheaper visibility, but let's play devil's advocate for a second.
Go for it.
Being the only coffee shop in a neighborhood is totally useless if the neighborhood is a ghost town.
Fair point.
The data shows Walmart holds roughly 6.3% of total U.S. e-commerce sales, whereas Amazon commands around 37.8%.
Right, those are the numbers.
So if I'm an operator who is laser-focused on ROI, a gap that massive looks like a huge red flag. Doesn't that 6.3% mean Walmart is just too small to justify the operational headache of managing a whole second platform?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, you'll see why looking at market share in a vacuum is a complete trap.
Okay, why is that a trap?
You cannot just look at the 6.3%. You have to analyze the ratio of buyers to sellers. Yes, 6.3% of the U.S. market is significantly smaller than Amazon's share, but in absolute dollars, that 6.3% represents hundreds of billions in annual buyer demand.
Ah, I see. So the total pie is technically smaller, but you are competing against infinitely fewer people to carve out a slice.
Precisely. It is the buyer-to-seller ratio that dictates profitability, not gross market share.
That makes total sense.
For a brand already doing healthy volume on Amazon, capturing a slice of that uncontested demand on Walmart represents one of the highest leverage growth levers available today, and the momentum is shifting aggressively.
Yeah, the growth numbers in the sources were wild. While Amazon's e-commerce growth has been stabilizing into, you know, single digits, recording 9.6% year over year, in the data we are looking at, Walmart's e-commerce revenue surged by 27.2% in the same period.
27.2%, that's huge.
Okay, so while Amazon's growth is plateauing, Walmart is legitimately accelerating. That completely flips the script.
It really does. And the third-party seller metrics are even stronger. Marketplace GMV, which is the total gross merchandise value sold by sellers like you, has spiked over 30% year over year for four consecutive quarters.
Wow, over 30%.
Yeah, and overall, online sales have topped 20% growth for five straight quarters. We aren't talking about a platform that is slowly gaining traction. We are looking at a platform in the middle of an explosive growth phase, fueled entirely by that hybrid store and digital model.
Which perfectly sets up the urgency of this whole deep dive. The demand is there, the ratio of buyers to sellers is highly profitable, and the platform is accelerating.
Right.
But why are we sitting here on August 3rd sounding the alarm? The data makes it very clear that the advantages driving this profitability are deeply temporary.
Yeah, the urgency is tied to two specific marketplace mechanics that dictate visibility fulfillment and advertising.
Okay, let's break those down.
Right now, both of these engines are incredibly favorable for early adopters, but the window is actively closing. Let's look at fulfillment first. Walmart Fulfillment Services, or WFS, operates very similarly to FBA.
Right, you send them your inventory.
Exactly, but it comes with a massive algorithmic and conversion advantage right now.
Right, it's all about the fast and free shipping badge. We all know how critical badging is for conversion. Like, buyers are completely conditioned to look for that two-day guarantee.
Absolutely.
When you put your inventory into WFS, your listings automatically get that Fulfilled by Walmart two-day shipping tag.
Yeah.
And the conversion delta is just staggering. Items carrying that badge are seeing a 50% lift in GMV compared to merchant-fulfilled listings without it.
It is a massive lever. But we have to understand the mechanism of why it provides a 50% lift today.
Okay, why today specifically?
Right now, a significant portion of Walmart sellers are still merchant fulfilling. They haven't migrated their supply chains to WFS yet.
Oh, I see.
So having that badge actively differentiates your listing in the search results. It makes you look like the premium, reliable option.
Yeah.
But think about the natural life cycle of a marketplace.
Well, eventually everyone adapts.
Exactly. As the platform matures, WFS enrollment will approach 100% for serious sellers. Once every listing on page one has the fast and free badge, it ceases to be a competitive advantage. It just becomes table stakes.
It's just a baseline requirement to even play the game, exactly like the Prime badges on Amazon today.
Precisely. You want to capture that 50% lift now while it still sets you apart from the crowd.
Okay, so the fulfillment advantage is temporary. Now let's look at the second engine. Here's where it gets really interesting. the advertising ecosystem.
Yes, Walmart Connect.
Right. Walmart Connect is experiencing explosive adoption. We're seeing ad revenue hit 37% global growth and 44% in the U.S. if you exclude their Vizio acquisition.
It's massive growth.
Walmart is pouring resources into their ad tech, but the actual cost to the seller hasn't caught up to the value yet.
And that comes back to the auction mechanics. Because the platform is younger, the ad ecosystem just isn't fully saturated.
Right, unlike Amazon.
Exactly. On a mature platform like Amazon, you have a decade of historical data and millions of sellers who have systematically bid the cost per click up to the absolute ceiling just to maintain their organic ranking.
Yeah, Amazon's second price auction is essentially maxed out in most categories.
But Walmart is simply earlier on that exact same curve.
Because there are fewer sellers bidding on the keyword garlic press, you are often winning the ad placement at the floor price, rather than being forced to bid $3 a click just to show up.
That's the exact mechanism. The clicks are vastly cheaper, which means your return on ad spend is significantly higher.
But again, this is a closing window.
Yeah, it is mathematically guaranteed to erode. In just the first 5 months of 2025 alone, Walmart added roughly 30% more sellers to the marketplace.
Wait, a 30% influx in half a year?
Yep.
That is a tidal wave of new competition.
And every single one of those new sellers is going to figure out the exact same playbook we are discussing right now.
Yep, they're all going to read the same guides.
They are going to push their inventory into WFS to get the badge, and they are going to start bidding on your keywords. As seller density increases, the auction bids rise and the competitive gap slams shut. That is why the early adopter phase is ending right now.
So the theoretical window is closing, but that brings us to the literal physical calendar, the ticking clock of Q4.
The most stressful time of the year.
Right. I think the instinct for a lot of operators is to look at the calendar, see August, and think, all right, Q4 is Black Friday and the holiday rush. I'll dedicate some bandwidth to Walmart in late October.
Oh, if you wait until late October, you are entirely locked out of the Q4 revenue pool.
Completely locked out.
Because the infrastructure takes time to prime, the timeline for holiday success actually starts next month. You have to reverse engineer your operations backward from the major consumer buying days.
Let's map out exactly how these deadlines chain together, because missing even one of them creates a domino effect of failure. The first bottleneck hits in mid-September.
Right. Mid-September is the submission window for Walmart's holiday gift guides and curated homepage placements.
And this is totally different from Amazon.
Very different. Unlike Amazon, which relies almost purely on algorithmic search, Walmart still acts very much like a traditional retailer. They curate editorial collections.
Like actual human buyers deciding what to feature.
Exactly. If you submit your products in this window and get selected, you are being handed massive, high-converting, free traffic directly on the homepage.
Free traffic.
But if you aren't even approved as a seller by mid-September, you forfeit that entirely.
It's free visibility that you just can't buy. Okay, so that's September. But October is the true operational linchpin. The data flags October 1st as the most critical, non-negotiable deadline of the entire season.
It really is the point of no return for fulfillment. October 1st is the strict cutoff to get your products physically received into Walmart fulfillment services with guaranteed inventory capacity for the peak holiday rush.
So if you miss it.
If your pallets aren't in their network by this date, you run a massive risk of your inventory sitting in a processing queue while the biggest sales days of the year just pass you by.
And if you miss that intake window, we all know what happens next. You're forced to pivot to merchant fulfillment right when logistics networks are stretched to the absolute breaking point.
Which is a nightmare.
Right, so you lose the 50% conversion lift of the fast and free badge, and you are trying to convince holiday shoppers to trust your standard shipping times during peak season. It's a conversion killer.
It completely sidelines your listings during the highest traffic period of the year, specifically the crucial window of November 27th through the 30th.
The gauntlet. Black Friday through Cyber Monday. We all know this is the make-or-break moment.
Absolutely.
But the data makes it clear the sellers dominating those 4 days on Walmart are the ones who secured their gift guide placements in September and locked their WFS inventory in by October 1st. If you start your Walmart strategy in November, you are just providing background noise for the sellers who planned ahead.
And that operational discipline has to hold all the way through December 19th, which is the final shipping cutoff for guaranteed holiday delivery.
That last-minute rush.
Right. after the 19th, standard shipping speeds are mathematically eliminated from the buyer's consideration, and all purchasing urgency shifts exclusively to expedited guaranteed options.
Right, because nobody wants a Christmas gift showing up on December 26th.
Exactly. If you don't have WFS backing you up in that final week before Christmas, your sales velocity just flatlines.
Okay, so the October 1st WFS deadline is the absolute linchpin. If an operator is listening to this right now, doing the math, and maybe slightly panicking, their first instinct is probably to just export their entire Amazon catalog, blindly duplicate it on Walmart, and blast all 50 SKUs to a WFS warehouse tomorrow to beat the deadline.
This raises an important question about execution, because treating Walmart as a mirror image of Amazon is the fastest way to create operational chaos.
Definitely.
The architecture is different, the gatekeeping is different, and the algorithms are different. The data lays out a very specific phased approach to launching successfully.
Let's get into the mechanics of that launch, the six steps. Because unlike Amazon, where almost anyone can spin up a seller account over a weekend with a credit card, Walmart actively gatekeeps its seller base. You can't just slide in.
No, you can't.
Step one, you have to prove you are a legitimate, established U.S. business. They require an EIN, specific tax documents like a W-9, verified UPC or GTIN codes, and critically, proof of a successful e-commerce track record.
And that gatekeeping is exactly why the approval process can take weeks and why initiating the application right now in early August is mandatory if you want to hit the October 1st WFS deadline.
Right, so that's step one, apply properly. And step two is to plan for fulfillment, which means defaulting to WFS. But once you are approved, the next operational hurdle, step three and four, is fighting the urge to bring your entire catalog over at once.
Right. The data strongly advises against an entire catalog dump. You want to prioritize WFS immediately, but only for your proven winners, maybe the top 10% to 20% of your SKUs.
So just your best sellers.
Exactly. You use your best sellers to establish a stable beachhead. This limits your logistical risk while you learn how Walmart's platform actually operates.
Which brings us to the listings themselves. Learning the platform means understanding that buyer search behavior on Walmart is fundamentally different from Amazon.
This is a huge point. You cannot just copy and paste your Amazon listings and expect them to rank.
How does the search mechanic actually differ? Like, what are the bots looking for?
Well, Amazon's search algorithm has had years to develop deep semantic understanding. It knows what a buyer means, even if they use adjacent keywords.
Right.
Walmart's search engine is highly literal and relies much more heavily on exact keyword matching and specific keyword density within your title and description.
Wow.
Furthermore, the Walmart demographic often searches for multi-packs or bulk variations quite differently than Amazon shoppers do. If you just paste your Amazon bullet points, you are starving the Walmart algorithm of the precise data it needs to index your product.
So you really have to translate your listings into Walmart's specific language.
Yeah.
Adapt, don't copy.
Yes.
Okay, so that's step three and four. And while we are talking about algorithmic preferences, we have to talk about step five, pricing parity, because this is an absolute landmine for new sellers. You might be tempted to charge a Walmart tax, you know, raising your prices slightly to cover the initial friction of launching a new channel.
Oh, if you do that, the algorithm will literally suppress your listing.
Just completely bury it.
Yes. Walmart's entire corporate identity going back decades is everyday low prices. Their marketplace bots constantly scrape Amazon and other platforms.
They are always watching.
They really are. If they detect that you are selling the exact same product with the exact same UPC for a lower price on Amazon, they will strip your Walmart listing of the buy box or suppress it from search entirely. You have to maintain cross-platform pricing parity from day one.
Which means your profit margins have to be modeled correctly before you ever send a single unit to WFS.
Exactly.
And finally, step six. Once your perfectly priced, optimized listings are live, how do you actually get momentum? I mean, you don't have reviews, you don't have sales history.
This is where you leverage that cheap advertising we discussed earlier. You layer in a modest sponsored products budget immediately upon launch.
Right, by the initial sales.
Because the cost per click is still incredibly efficient, you can afford to do that. Those ad-driven sales generate the historical conversion data the algorithm needs to see, doing the heavy lifting that organic ranking would otherwise take months to achieve.
And before we wrap this up, we really need to address the elephant in the room.
Yeah, let's hear it.
The absolute biggest fear for any successful Amazon operator is doing something that angers the A9 algorithm. We need to be crystal clear here. Diversifying onto Walmart will not negatively impact your Amazon account health, your bestseller rank, or your organic ranking.
Not at all.
Amazon's performance metrics are entirely self-contained. Diversifying your revenue stream doesn't cannibalize your core business. It stabilizes it against single platform suspension risk.
That is a vital piece of the puzzle. You are building redundancy into your business model while simultaneously tapping into an uncontested growth engine.
So what does this all mean? If we zoom out, the core aha moment for you as an operator is this: building a Walmart strategy in August of 2026 isn't just about ticking a box for omnichannel distribution.
No, it's a time-sensitive arbitrage play.
Exactly. You are securing access to cheaper ad clicks, lower competition, and a massive conversion-boosting fulfillment badge before the rest of the market realizes the neighborhood has changed. The window is wide open right now, but that October 1st deadline is coming fast.
It is, and you know, I want to leave you with a broader, somewhat provocative thought to ponder as you map out your Q4 strategy.
Let's hear it.
We spent this entire discussion looking at how Walmart is brilliantly leveraging its massive pre-existing physical footprint to offer logistics that undercut Amazon's purely digital dominance.
Right, the stores acting as mini warehouses.
Right, so if this hybrid stores fulfillment center model is what's driving this explosive 30% GMV growth, what happens when every other legacy big box retailer finally figures out this exact same playbook?
Oh, wow.
Think about Target or Home Depot. Will the future of e-commerce ironically be won by the very brick-and-mortar stores we all assumed the internet was going to destroy?
Now that is a thought that will keep me up at night. The digital jungle is actively shifting, and it turns out the undisputed king might eventually get dethroned by the old guard building new roads. Diversify your playbook, guard those Q4 deadlines, and whatever you do, don't get caught sleeping on Walmart. Catch you on the next deep dive.